Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute to U.S. soccer star Clint Dempsey, who has announced his retirement from the sport. The 35-year-old Dempsey is tied with Landon Donovan, who's also retired, as the U.S. men's national soccer team's all-time leading scorer. Clint scored 57 international goals in 141 appearances, and he is the first American player to score in three consecutive World Cups, doing so at Germany 2006, South Africa 2010, and Brazil 2014. I remember the USA's opener in Brazil 4 years ago. Dempsey scored against Ghana only 30 seconds into the match. It was the fastest goal by an American player in World Cup history and fifth fastest goal in all-time World Cup history. In a statement issued by the Seattle Sounders, Dempsey's Major League Soccer team, he said he believes it's the right time to retire after playing professionally for 15 years. Dempsey added, and I quote, "I'd like to thank all of the teammates, coaches, and support staff who I've worked with throughout my career. It's always been my dream to make it as a pro. I'm grateful to have been on this ride." The U.S. Soccer Federation paid tribute to Clint Dempsey with a video of some of his highlights. Near the end of the video, Dempsey expressed more gratitude for his soccer career.
As a kid, you don't know if you're ever going to be even called in to national team camp, get that opportunity. I played in three World Cups, played in Confederation Cup final, semifinal of Copa America, won Gold Cups, being part of all the World Cup qualifying games, getting goals. I mean, man, I'm blessed. It's been awesome.
Awesome indeed. What the heck? Here's another Sunny Side of Sports salute to the now retired Clint Dempsey. In addition to the Seattle Sounders, Clint Dempsey played for Major League Soccer's New England Revolution, as well as two English Premier League clubs, Fulham and Tottenham Hotspur. With Fulham in 2012, Dempsey became the first American player to score a Premier League hat trick in a 5-2 victory against Newcastle. Meanwhile, the Spurs of Tottenham are off to a good start in this new Premier League season. Tottenham has the maximum 9 points from 3 matches, and the Spurs next have a road game on Sunday against Watford. Watford is also off to a good start. In fact, this is the first time ever Watford has won its first 3 matches in the Premier League. Taking a quick look at the very top of the early season Premier League table, the Reds of Liverpool have the maximum 9 points, and they're at the top based on goal difference. Liverpool next has a road match Saturday against Leicester City, which has 2 wins, a loss, and 6 points. And I'm sure fans of the Foxes of Leicester are hoping they can recapture some of that magic of a couple of seasons ago when the club made a very surprising run to its first and only Premier League title. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African football news, Ivory Coast has named a 23-man team for a 2019 Africa Cup of Nations qualifier against host Rwanda on September 9th. Head coach Ibrahim Kamara left out England-based striker Wilfried Zaha in what's being described as a surprise omission. The 25-year-old Zaha has scored 2 goals for Crystal Palace in the Premier League and he looks to be very much in form. Zaha was part of the Ivory Coast team at the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Gabon. Coach Kamara also left out Yaya Toure, the 35-year-old four-time African Footballer of the Year. Yaya has represented Ivory Coast at six, count them, six Africa Cup of Nations tournaments. But after eight seasons with Manchester City, Yaya is currently without a club, and Coach Kamara might be phasing him out of the national team. He's 35. Yaya has been out there a long time, African football fans, and he could be just a little bit long in the tooth. So we're going to have to wait and see if we've heard the last of Yaya Toure for the Elephants of Ivory Coast. Another veteran player, 31-year-old striker Gervinho, also was omitted from the Ivory Coast team for that Nations Cup qualifier against Rwanda. Gervinho signed earlier this month with the Italian club Parma. Ivory Coast began its qualifying campaign for next year's Nations Cup in Cameroon way back in June 2017. Seems like a long time ago, when it lost to visiting Guinea 3-2 in Bouake. Rwanda, meanwhile, also lost its first Nations Cup qualifier, falling to the host Central African Republic 2-1. So that means Guinea and CAR now lead this group, Group H, with 3 points each. The top two teams in the group will qualify for the 2019 Nations Cup in Cameroon, which will be the first Nations Cup to expand from 16 to 24 teams. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week, right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. That's my VOA colleague, Heather Maxwell. Heather recently returned from a trip to Ghana and Nigeria. In Nigeria, Heather visited our friends at VOA partner station, Sports Radio, 88.9 Brilla FM. Shout out for my friends at Sports Radio, 88.9 Brilla FM in Nigeria. I saw a photo of Heather with Dr. Larry Zamajay, the founder of Brilla, and Dr. Larry seemed to be quite happy to have Heather in the Brilla studios. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. David Okeo, the former Secretary General of Athletics Kenya, has been banned from track and field for life for his role in diverting hundreds of thousands of dollars of sponsorship money from Nike for his and others' personal use. Okeo was found guilty of skimming off the money given to Athletics Kenya by Nike from as far back as 2004. Okeo was also formally expelled as a council member with the International Associations of Athletics Federations, or IAAF. The decision was announced Thursday by the IAAF Ethics Board. Akeo was accused, alongside two other Kenyan officials, former Athletics Kenya president and former IAAF council member Isaiah Kiplagat, and former Athletics Kenya treasurer Joseph Kinyua. Kiplagat died in 2016. In addition to that ban for life, David Okeo was fined $50,000, which he was ordered to pay to Athletics Kenya, and he was ordered to pay another $100,000 in legal costs. Okeo has also been charged separately with extorting money from athletes. The IAAF hasn't published its findings on that charge. It's just the latest case pointing to corruption in athletics in Kenya, which has been the most successful long-distance running nation in the world for decades. But Kenya has seen that reputation eroded by a series of doping and corruption scandals. Earlier this week, I reported how Kenyan runner Kipyegon Bett, a world championship bronze medalist last year at 800 meters, tested positive for the blood booster EPO. Bett now faces a four-year ban from athletics. He's the fourth Kenyan athlete to face doping charges since the start of the year. Well, it's the fourth day of action at the U.S. Open tennis tournament in New York. The big controversy this week involved a French player, and joining us now with an update is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. On Wednesday's show, I mentioned that following a heat break, French tennis player Elise Cornet returned to the court and realized her shirt was on backwards. When she briefly took off her top to turn it around the correct way, the chair umpire deemed the action inappropriate, and Cornet was hit with a code violation. Initially, it was reported that the World Tennis Association rulebook states that female players are not permitted to change attire on the court, while male players are allowed to do so. The rule and the violation sparked immediate outrage and prompted the WTA to issue a statement on Twitter defending Cornet. It reads in part, "The code violation that the U.S. Tennis Association handed to Elise Cornet was unfair, and it was not based on a WTA rule, as the WTA has no rule against a change of attire on court. This code violation came under the Grand Slam rules, and we are pleased to see that USTA has now changed this policy. Alizé did nothing wrong." The USTA was quick to issue a statement of their own. It says, in part, "We regret that a code violation was assessed to Ms. Cornet. We have clarified the policy to ensure this will not happen moving forward. Fortunately, she was only assessed a warning with no further penalty or fine." U.S. Open officials also clarified the tournament's policy, saying players who change their shirts will not be assessed a code violation. Elise Cornet spoke on Wednesday and attempted to downplay the incident, saying she was surprised by the controversy. She said when the violation was issued, she did not take it badly and was disturbed for no more than 10 seconds. And while some are not so quick to forgive the incident, largely referred to as a double standard, Cornet was quick to point to a recent ban on Serena Williams's cat suit by the Tennis Federation based in her home country. Cornet said that ban is, in her words, 10,000 times worse than what happened to me. She says the French Federation president is, quote, "not helping the work that we are all doing to make it more fair for women," end quote. Well, speaking of Serena, Wednesday's temperatures were boiling hot, and so were Serena and her sister Venus, who are now set to meet face-to-face on Friday. Venus said crowd encouragement helped her beat the heat and Italy's Camilla Giorgi in straight sets. And Serena overpowered Karina Witthoff of Germany, also winning in straight sets. After her match, Serena said she's ready to face her sister, but she needs to bring her A game.
"The best part is we bring out the best trust in each other. I know that when I play her, I have to play some of my best tennis, and she does too. And it propels us to continue to play that for the tournament, you know, and it sets a tone for us. And I feel like throughout our career, we've pushed each other to be the best that we can be and be Venus and Serena Williams.
And with great matches comes great expectations. And Serena says she's okay with that.
I try to just realize that I'm human, whether people do or not, you know. The expectations are great, and, you know, but I like having that expectations on my shoulders because it takes me out of mediocrity, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So I like the expectation, and I always look at what it would be like if I didn't have it, and I wouldn't be Serena Williams.
Friday's third round match will be the 30th career meeting between the two sisters. Venus defeated her younger sibling in their most recent encounter at Indian Wells earlier this year, but Serena came out on top at their last Grand Slam meeting in the 2017 Australian Open final. Serena leads the series 17-12 with a 10-5 record in Grand Slam meetings. So we shall see. Sports fans, the stage is set. Also on the women's side, defending U.S. Open champion Sloane Stephens overcame scorching heat and a first-set loss to finish off Ukraine's Angelina Kalinina. After the match, Stephens said the 10-minute heat break helped her finish things off in the third set.
You know, playing 2 hours and 45 minutes, having a break at the end of the second set is always pretty helpful. You're able to regroup, sit down a minute, get into the AC, kind of cool your body down. So I think it's obviously very helpful playing in like tough conditions like today. It was very hot out. So I think it's very helpful.
Turning now to the men's side, call it a self-fulfilling prophecy. Ahead of the tournament, Britain's Andy Murray predicted he would not hoist the trophy this year as he continues to recover from hip surgery. Well, he lived up to his own prediction on Wednesday. After battling it out for nearly 3 hours and 30 minutes, Murray lost to Spain's Fernando Verdasco in five sets. Switzerland's Stan Wawrinka fought off the heat and humidity, and French qualifier Hugo Humbert to advance to the third round. Former U.S. Open champion Juan Martín Del Potro also advanced to the next round after his straight-set win against American Dennis Kudla. And defending champion Rafa Nadal defeated a clearly exhausted Vasej Pospisil of Canada. It's been said Nadal's game is built on wearing his opponents down with long, continuous rallies. Add to that a 25-second shot clock, and by the third set, Pospisil simply ran out of steam. Afterwards, Nadal said, "It's always good to win in straight sets, especially in extreme heat." And I gotta say, Sonny and I share that same weather here in Washington, D.C., and it is hot! By the way, rain is expected in New York and D.C. later in the week, and I sure hope that cools things down for those athletes. I'll have more results from the U.S. Open tomorrow. Stay cool, Sonny. Back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Ooten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. As Gwen said, it's been stifling hot, steamy hot, sweltering hot in Washington, D.C. and New York this week. But here in Studio 22, the air conditioning is working nicely, sports fans, and I am cool as the proverbial cucumber. Cool as a cucumber. In fact, I'm a bit chilly because of the air conditioning. Now let's go to Uganda, where the love for motorsport keeps increasing by both fans and drivers alike, despite the fact that winners are not given prize money. Organizers believe motorsport can help the government to boost local tourism, and rally drivers are appealing for sponsorship. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to this feature by Magumi Davis Rakawinge in Kampala.
Hundreds of fans stand by the roadside to cheer up their favorite rally drivers at Chabakuza village in Masaka district of central Uganda during the just concluded Southern Motorsport Club Challenge Rally. Frank Antlak is one of them. Antlak says he started watching rallies when he was just about 6 years. He usually would accompany his father, who was also a motor rally fanatic.
Basically, I like thrilling games. I like things that take me up to the maximum. Motorsport is man versus machine, so you get what I'm saying. Motorsport is a ordinary sport, first of all, so you come here by own risk, and I like risky things.
At times, Antlak says, he tries out at navigation. Hotelelia Caroline Namanda also says she's a loyal motorsport fan. But besides enjoying the sport, she also gets time to network with different people at rallies.
Oh, rallying is a very good game. It collects a lot of crowd. Very many people come and enjoy it. And a class of people, which are my target clients, the corporates. So I'm also involved into this because I need the corporates for my hotel.
One of her favorite drivers is three-time national rally champion, Jas Mangat. Mangat says motor racing is a family sport.
What I love most about the sport, it's exciting. It builds my adrenaline and it requires a lot of concentration. I think it was something we always looked at as kids. My father used to drive, so I tried to follow his footsteps.
Mangat races Mitsubishi Evo Series, which costs well over $30,000 before taxes, and also has to import spare parts at an expensive price since Uganda does not manufacture them. At the end of the day, only accolades are not cash, is all the winner goes home with. But he says it's emotionally rewarding to see hundreds of fans watch you perform your favorite sport.
It's amazing that the sport can get so much attention from the public. We just wish that with the sport we can benefit from it and you know, instill good habits and good values to the spectators.
Each year, drivers must compete in 7 rallies, and one with more points is crowned the national champion. Southern Motorsport Club Challenge Rally winner Posian Rakataka, aka Mafumafu, is one of the darling of the sport. He says he would not have won the sport if it wasn't the generosity of his fans.
I have groups on WhatsApp. When once I'm going to drive, I call up everybody at least to give me 20,000. So like this year, they contributed for me 15 million. That's why I prepared my car.
Katende Muchibi is the chairman of the Sport Commission in Uganda.
The sport is very popular and adding a lot in terms of the economy, because everywhere we go, the rally economy is close to 2 billion Uganda shillings. And what does that imply? That we can be a vehicle that government can use to promote domestic tourism. And that is one of the things we are looking at.
Motorsport in Uganda started around 1950s, but became more popular in 1990s. Rally drivers here say, once they get sponsorship, they'll be able to participate in regional and international competitions.
Six overall car number 74, Toyota Corolla, Frank Tatia and Hamza Rwanga.
For the Sony Side of Sport, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
And that wraps up the August 30th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Patrick Dea. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Zimbabwe has a new president. Emmerson M. Mnangagwa was officially sworn in on August 26th, following a ruling by the Constitutional Court declaring Mr. M. Mnangagwa the winner of the July 30th presidential election. The court dismissed a legal challenge brought by the political opposition, Movement for Democratic Change Alliance. The United States urges all parties to respect the Zimbabwean constitution and the rule of law. The IRI-NDI Zimbabwe International Electoral Observation Mission reported several improvements to the electoral process compared to Zimbabwe's past elections. Though equally important, problems gave rise to deep concerns that the process thus far has not made the mark. Further reforms are necessary to meet standards Zimbabweans expect and deserve, and which reflect regional and international best practices for democratic elections. The United States remains concerned over politically motivated human rights violations and abuses, and acts of post-electoral retribution in Zimbabwe. Violence and unlawful activity should not be part of the political process, and those responsible for such transgressions must be held accountable, said State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert. Human rights and fundamental freedoms, such as freedom of expression and association, must be respected, and victims and witnesses of human rights violations and abuses deserve protection under the law. The United States encourages the government of Zimbabwe to hold substantive discussions with all stakeholders and implement electoral and broader political and economic reforms. The United States stands ready to continue its dialogue with Zimbabwe's political, economic, and civil society leaders to foster inclusive democratic governance for the betterment of all citizens.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.